While the duelists, after seeing the Vengeance off, went to Challenger for further discussions of the renovation plans with Captain Hutchins and Prylor Otano, some of their other fellow students convened on the Zocalo for dessert, munching pie slices and speculating as to what their schoolmates were getting up to regarding the development of their new school. As they did so, Moose McEachern was the first to notice that they were being approached.
"May I help you?"
Moose asked the approaching courier, a young human barely older than himself. This worthy wore a Freespacer duty uniform, a single silver stripe embossed on the lapel of a polo shirt, simple gray slacks and boots making up the remainder. In his hand he held a bundle of letters and a data crystal. "I am looking for Midshipman Mackenzie," the courier said. "I have his orders from Fleet Command. I also have his mail from the past 10 days and a data crystal containing all his electronic messages since his departure from Earth. If he would sign for them?" Hearing his name mentioned, Mac came around to the end of the table and, with a quick salute and a flick of the pen, received his mail. With the courier disposed of, Mac took the load back to his seat, moved his breakfast tray aside, and opened the parchment containing his orders. For the other's benefit, he read them aloud. "Midshipman Mackenzie, your active service in Supply Fleet, Confederate Freespacer's Mercenary Fleet, is hereby ended. You are hereby assigned as Midshipman Reserve to Diplomatic Guard, Home Fleet, Confederate Freespacer's Alliance, until such time as your services shall be required by the Ambassador Plenipotentiary to the Babylon Foundation. Your active service shall be officially recorded as from Monday, May 2nd, 2405, through 2359 hours, Sunday, May 8th, 2405. Payment of salary and expenses for this service, less the fleet tithe, shall be rendered upon receipt of your final after-action report by the Office of the Commander-in-Chief, CFMF. Signed, Magnar Van Reeden, Commander, Chief of Personnel, Home Fleet." Mac smiled wryly and added, "So I've been given homework over summer break. It figures." Mac opened another of the letters, also made of parchment, and read it in silence. As he read, his eyebrows crept up in an expression of growing wonder. "Well," he said at last, "I've just been offered admission into the freshman class of the Freespacer Fleet Academy, beginning with fall semester, command track, even." With one hand, he crumpled up the letter and tossed it over his shoulder into the nearby trash bin, opening the next one without any further concern. The next letter, however, had him pause midway through reading to contemplate the words. This letter he folded back up carefully and returned to its envelope, setting it carefully on the table. "A full scholarship to Freespacer State University upon my graduation from secondary school," he said at last. A third letter and a fourth generated laughs after the first silent paragraph of reading. Mac waved the two letters and chuckled. "Ensign's commissions, in either tactical or strategic fleet. Starfighter crew chief in tactical or engineer's mate in strategic. Two other letters joined these, unopened but on similar stationery. "I believe that my nation has gone completely fucking mad, pardon my teller." Moose leaned back in his too small chair, stroking his cheek with one finger.
"Well, looks like you've made out well, Mac," he rumbled. "Your choice of assignments, scholarships at college, anything you could ever want. Have you decided what you're going to do with this embarrassment of riches?"
"Nothing." Mac shrugged, fingering the data crystal in his hand. "I don't want a military career, although I'll serve if called to duty. I plan to be a space architect. A shipwright, if that doesn't work out. Freespacer State is the least I would accept, but I want more." Mac smiled, staring at the ceiling. "I want to be able to write my own ticket. I want the best. NAIS, Nokomi Tech, maybe even the Vulcan Science Academy, although I doubt I'll get one of their 100 off-world slots." "So that means," he said with a smile, looking back at the others, "I'm probably going to be following most of you. Wormtown Prep was one of the best secondary schools in the Federation. It'll take a damn good school to replace it, and I don't expect any of you to settle for less than the best. If even half of what we heard yesterday was true, then this is the place for me to stay. And, he thought to himself, it'll be nice to see the folks for a few days until the home fleet heads out. Utina briefly left the meeting, which was proving to be very rewarding indeed, and accompanied Corwin and Nall down to Shuttle Bay 2, where a dagger disc had been parked since the party's return from the Gerardo expedition earlier in the day. So, said Utina as they waited for the turbo lift, which had to get from the bridge-level conference room all the way to the farthest aft habitable point in the ship, to deliver them to their destination. You've got 2 weeks of classes left? Corwin nodded. Yep, and then I'm through for the summer, and we can get started. I figure we'll use the one-hit wonder for most of it, except for the warp drive section. For that, we'll have to borrow a pred or a runabout or something. He smiled. Looking forward to it? You bet. My brain will probably explode, she admitted, having been visibly daunted but not dissuaded by the sight of the required reading list for the master's certificate examination. But the practical parts ought to be fun. Nall was about to add, and hey, it's more quality time with Rocket Boy here, until, for once, his brain-to-mouth safety interlock functioned properly and caused him to say instead, you'll do fine. Thanks, said Utina, scruffling the dragon. Did you enjoy your tour of the Denorios belt? Yeah, it was a hoot. Data's not as big a stiff as he looks. He's got a cat, you know. Just an ordinary cat. Nothing as remarkable and talented as me, but any construct who can get a cat to like him is worth spending time with. The lift arrived. They proceeded down the short corridor to the shuttle bay and paused at the base of Dagger Disk's ramp. We did a good job, didn't we? Utina asked as she surveyed the fully repaired vessel. That we did, Corwin replied. Well, see you next week. I'll be here, said Utina, grinning. She gave him his goodbye hug and a kiss on the cheek, and then went up to the shuttle bay control room to watch him leave. As Dagger Disk plunged through the metaspace gateway and vanished in a flash of light, she found herself waving goodbye, which made her grin a little at herself. Not a very logical thing to do, said Tevek from the shuttle bay ops board. Then the Vulcan grinned and added, makes perfect sense to me, though. Utina chuckled, bade her have a good day, and went back up to the conference room to get on with the meeting. When Corwin came to take his leave, Griffin had just started outlining a suggestion for something to do with the athletic facilities, and Utina definitely wanted to get some input in on that. Avery Productions Unlimited presented Undocumented Features Future Imperfect, Symphony of the Sword, Seventh Movement, Reflections in Transition. This movement concludes Symphony No. 1, but the symphony will return.